Well, now we have come to a point in the show. We only have a few minutes left in this final program, and I kind of find myself in the incredible position of being one of the last voices to be broadcast on Canada's international radio. And over these past few years, it has been my extreme privilege to be able to work alongside some of the most dedicated and talented people I've ever known. But we're saying goodbye to teammates and colleagues, most of whom are reluctantly retiring or leaving the job they love to seek other employment, but every one of them with a strong sense of pride for a job extremely well done. I'm finding this very hard. For 67 years, RCI has been the country's voice to the world, broadcasting Canada's viewpoints and culture in several languages. Not without some rocky financial times, though. Over a decade ago, when our budget was about double what it is now, the accounting firm KPMG was hired to examine RCI, and they discovered to their surprise that in comparison, it was probably the most efficient of international broadcasters. It currently costs Canadians about 34 cents a year for this international service. And I don't know about you, but personally, I have more loose change than that rattling around in the ashtray of my car. But the RCI budget has now been cut by about 80%, with similar reduction on staff, equipment, and operations. And, you know, I've always felt that RCI shows would be of interest to Canadians. And when the CBC did finally carry the link, your reaction was almost universally positive. It's being said the CBC is shuttering operations that do not reflect its core mandate, such as broadcasting to an international audience, which may have some truth to it. But it seems that with so much fascination to tell Canadians about American stars and stories, that Canadians were actually quite hungry for a show like The Link and its Canadian focus. I wonder if, in fact, The Link and RCI, with this focus, was moving closer to the CBC mandate while the CBC was moving away. That's the message that you've been telling us very clearly in your letters and emails. It's also being said that shortwave is a technology at the end of its life cycle, or quite simply obsolete. It's true that some countries have ceased shortwave and moved to the net, but countries like Germany, France, the United Kingdom, Australia, for example, have no intention of ending their international service. Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty are going strong. The Voice of America is even going to open a new bureau in Burma. Indeed, the board overseeing those services said in its 2013 budget submission to the U.S. government that international broadcasting is among the most cost-effective initiatives within public diplomacy. Meanwhile, the Voice of Russia, with its 38 broadcast languages, has just this month opened a new office in London, saying it's a new opportunity to tell listeners about life in Russia and give Russian opinion on world matters. Other countries like China, North Korea, Cuba, amongst others, remain convinced of the strategic value of shortwave in spreading their message. In fact, this is an area where the Voice of Canada enjoyed great international respect and was relied upon by listeners worldwide. For the fact our objectives in broadcasts and news services were to always be as balanced and unbiased as possible. And while there's no denying the importance of the Internet, there's also no denying that it can be and is regularly blocked by authoritarian regimes. Shortwave broadcasts, on the other hand, almost always get through to people hungry for information. Radio has also always been an extremely inexpensive and highly portable, easily accessible to everyone around the world, no matter what their financial situation. But now I find myself, on behalf of all of us, saying goodbye to 67 years of radio, broadcasting stories of Canadian expertise and discoveries in medical fields and science, of technological innovation, business opportunities and practices, both good and bad, Canadian politics and policies, Canadian expert opinion and analysis of domestic and world affairs, and of course wonderful Canadian artists and culture. And most sadly, goodbye also to you, my radio friends, with whom we have shared so many stories. I have absolutely loved being your host, welcoming you to The Link every day for these past many years. It's a privilege I have been thankful for every single day. Your many letters expressing your thanks for bringing you Canadian stories and artists you have not heard about elsewhere, and also expressing shock and dismay at the ending of the show, have truly warmed all our hearts. And thanks to all of you who have also written to the CBC to tell them how much you appreciate the show and the kinds of Canadian stories we cover. We do remain hopeful that a mere $10 million may quickly be found to save RCI, but now, on behalf of all of us, let me express to you a most sincere thank you for our small but highly dedicated team, Lynn Desjardins, Terry Haig, Carmel Kilkenny, Rashi Kilnani, and Ian Jones, who is not with us right now, Lauren Curry in Vancouver, Frank Racco in Calgary, Lynn Francoise Peltier from Toronto, Robert Jarreau from Halifax, Amanda Pfeffer in Ottawa, and Valerie Morin before that, Kathy Coulombe, and our wonderful technician Chantal Saint-Sauveur, and of course Tanya Gancheva, who is not with us today, who has done so much for the show, our assistant Roman Pitt, our producers Suzanne Sugar and Levon Savance. And so, for all